Well, let's start again. And before we go to number 27, some of the commissioners have been visiting about the use of fruit trees as habitat, following up on what Chris Tesla was saying from the Wildlife Federation. And so we wondered if the Department, Tom or Kevin or both, whoever, could address that. And it seems like a good idea to us, and we're hoping that you agree.
Tom's got the microphone.
There you go.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director. No, I'm not going to turn the microphone over to Kevin on this particular topic. I get away from us. All kidding aside, in respect to the letter that was submitted by Chris Hessel and the Wildlife Federation and the use of native trees and shrubs, obviously from the perspective, we concur and agree with that. We value and understand the high value that those native trees and shrubs provide from a habitat standpoint to a food source standpoint for wildlife out there. Couldn't agree more. What I would offer to you is, in as we do plantings, whether it's on game production areas, and I'm sure, and I could ask Scott to chime in from the park side as well, we already at in instances use native trees and shrubs also in our plantings of various sorts, and those that include fruit bearing as well. As we do new plantings, depending on the location, what the objectives are, or the primary objectives of that parcel of land, that would certainly be considered and included. But I think the important thing to understand right now is, number one, we already do include the native trees and shrubs in our plantings. Again, some of them are fruit bearing. And we'll continue to have those conversations as we look at other ones that need to be revamped or updated or additions that are planted onto existing plantings that occur out there as well. So we certainly agree with the comments that the Federation brought forward on that. It's something that we believe in as well. We currently do utilize those practices, and we will continue to look at for opportunities that we can utilize them more. And again, whether that's on a game production area or within the state park system, we have a lot of very talented and very knowledgeable staff on both divisions in respect to these types of plantings. And in some cases, I know in particular in the Black Hills, those staff work collaboratively amongst the two divisions when we do these types of projects or new plantings or doing some riparian efforts, whatever it might be, in consideration of new plantings out there. So based on the letter that was sent, Scott and I will both have conversations with all of our staff and just reiterate the importance that we're hearing from the public in respect to the use of native trees and shrubs in our planting and the work that we do. We know that we're using them already, but where we can enhance those efforts and do more, we'll certainly look at those opportunities and make sure that those are part of our considerations and planning efforts moving forward.
Great. Thank you very much. So that takes us to number 27 on the agenda, GPA disposal and process.
So Mr. Chairman, again, I'll start out and just give a quick intro of this, and I'm going to ask Paul Coughlin just to chime in here shortly as well to give a little more background on this. And one more reminder, Mr. Chairman, on the agenda here, we've got two more after this one, and then we do need to take action on those three resolutions from the petitions yesterday as well before we conclude today. So number 27, the GPA disposal and process. So this was an item that came forward as our agency went through our GPA assessment 2 years ago, looking at all the game production areas across the state. What is the status of the habitat? What are the opportunities that exist for us to do more habitat work, create new habitat, enhance existing habitat, either create or enhance access, whether that's through trails, the roads, trails within the GPAs, and to provide more access to our users out there. So as we went through that assessment, we did all that ranking. Obviously, we were focused on the habitat development and trails and access portion of it. And the question was brought up by you as the commission body, what about those GPAs that you went through that assessment that just don't fit the needs or are not utilized, or based on their location, why do we continue to retain those GPAs and they're not being used, why would we not get rid of them? So we went back and had some very in-depth conversations and looked at our GPAs, and using that assessment that we completed, our staff in conjunction with Paul Coughlin, who I'll turn this over to shortly, went through a process in particular, looked at those GPAs, which I would describe that were at that bottom of that assessment, and looked at those as potential opportunities for GPAs that we would dispose of, remove from our inventory of GPAs across the state, with the overall intent of using the dollars that would be generated from the disposal to go after another site or additional sites that really fit the mission of our game production areas and getting people in the outdoors and providing habitat and providing hunting opportunities out there. So I guess what I'm going to do, Mr. Chairman and members, I'm going to turn it over to Paul Coughlin. He's just going to take a couple of minutes to run through kind of what that process was, how we went about it, things that we considered, and what our next steps will be moving forward. So with that, Paul, I'm going to turn it over to you to provide a quick briefing on that.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, Paul Coughlin, Habitat Program Administrator, and Tom did a real good job of summarizing at a high level what we did in this evaluation to try to come up with a list, if you will, of potential GPAs for disposal. And like he mentioned, like Tom mentioned, our habitat managers utilized that GPA assessment information that they gathered a couple years ago. But what they did this time around is we really had them drill down a little further into various aspects of the different GPAs that tended to come out on the low end of value as far as what our management opportunities are and what the public use opportunities are on those GPAs. So we limited this on this initial look to our northeast and our southeast regions. We just felt that there was ample opportunity, particularly with the fact that there are so many individual GPA tracts out there in those two regions. Many of them small in size and things that just don't really offer perhaps the degree of opportunity that some of our larger complexes do. So what our habitat managers and their staff did was look at several factors, again, drilling down a little deeper than that habitat assessment. They of course looked at public access. You know, what is the quality of the public access? Can the public get to the game production area? Is there, is it adequate? Is it tough to get to? They looked at public use. How much use does a particular game production area get? They looked at the habitat management opportunities, again, like we did with the assessment process. They also looked at factors such as how important was the particular game production area towards providing access to public waters. Something where we want to make sure that we're not limiting or removing access to public waters by potentially disposing of the game production area. They looked at the location of the particular game production area in relation to other public lands. Does this game production area, it might not provide the best access or habitat opportunities, but maybe it's part of a larger public lands complex that draws users in. We had them look at wildlife use, both game and non-game. We had them look at basically the landscape. Again, that's kind of related to the other public lands or public waters in the immediate area, but how does that game production area fit within the landscape of that area and its value to wildlife? And of course, then things like size. There are many of these factors, of course, are all very connected. Small game production areas don't provide management opportunity and very much public use. So all these evaluation factors, there is some correlation amongst them. But what our managers did then is come up with a list of 45 to 50 different game production areas that they felt really weren't meeting the needs of both our agency as a wildlife management area or the needs of the public as a recreation destination. So we, we've taken that list, and what we're doing now is getting down a little further into that list, looking at things, such factors as like the marketability. So we might have a game production area that certainly ranks low on all these factors. It just isn't providing an opportunity for public use. There's little management opportunity for wildlife, but its marketability might be just non-existent. It maybe it's a small GPA tract that's mostly underwater and not easily accessible. So it's not really a marketable property, and there would be little value in trying to go through the disposal process on something that we, at the end of the day, would likely not have much of a market for, or there would not be much of a market for one of those properties. And then finally, one of the other aspects of this is we looked at the things that might affect, might be on the title to the property or other means by which we acquired the property. Yesterday when I talked to you, you approved the acceptance of a donated property from Pheasants Forever. We have a number of those properties that were donated to our agency or sold to our agency as a memorial to a family member or some such thing. And so there are those factors that come into play on whether or not it would be appropriate for a particular property to be sold off. And so right now that's what we're in the process of doing, is looking at these things a little closer and determining, if we were to go through the process of disposing of some of these, do we have a marketable property, and is it appropriate to dispose of that property? So that's kind of where we're at now. We've got that list down to a dozen or less, and again we're just working through the final stages of determining whether or not we would like to pursue any further the disposal process. So. With that, I can turn it back over to Tom or certainly take any questions.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Good overview of the process that we went through and where we're at right now. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, or members of the Commission, I turn it back to you for any questions that you may have of us.
Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good report, Paul, Tom. I think that's a good effort. And, I think this is a worthwhile endeavor, because when you get an old organization like the Game Fish and Parks, we are going to, over time, pick up pieces here and there that at the time may have seemed to make sense, but over time they don't fit the mission quite as well. And you look at all the taxes the Game Fish and Parks pays on all our land holdings, when you look at the cost of maintenance, the cost of spraying, trying to keep fences up, food plots up, all this kind of good stuff. I think I just don't think it ever hurts to really review what our holdings are, get rid of the ones that don't fit into our mission or our plan, and then reinvest that money, as Tom indicated, into properties or projects that really could use the extra attention. So I think this is a good first start. I got to believe that after being here as long as we've been, there's probably more than 10 to 12 properties out there that we can take a hard look at, but I think it's a good effort, and I applaud what you're doing and look forward to hearing more about it as we get going.
Any other comments, questions? Thank you. We'll go to number